engaging, thorough, cutting edge with essential information, unbiased and unfiltered. When it comes to the issues in your community, WZND is here with detailed investigative pieces from the award-winning WZND news team. WZND's Bird's Eye View gives you in-depth information on the issues you need to know about. Recognized for excellence in long-form news by the Illinois Broadcasters Association, College Broadcasters Incorporated, and the Society of Professional Journalists, the Bird's Eye View starts now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the March edition of Bird's Eye View. This is the road to the election. The local election is only 9 days away, so it's time to learn what you need to know ahead of voting on April 6th. We are live a little bit earlier this month because we have a busy day of sports here at Illinois State that WZND will be broadcasting following our Bird's Eye View episode today. So let's jump right into it. I'm Anna Marie Schutt, the producer.
I'm Ritz Navarro-Lopez.
And I'm Katrina Peterson.
How are you ladies feeling today?
I'm great. Here we are again. We're talking all things ballots, voting, and election.
I'm so excited. You know, I think a lot of people think that the elections are over in November and you don't have to worry about it. But we're here to tell you that that is wrong, and we'll talk a little bit more about why.
Absolutely. I love to hear it. So we have a great show for you guys today. First, we'll look into the ward system of Bloomington. Then we'll meet the candidates for Bloomington mayor. Next, we'll take a look at voting in Normal's local election. Then we'll hear about the Normal mayoral candidates. Following that, we'll hear about what having a township means. And finally, we'll look at what goes into school board elections. Be sure to stick around after the break to hear in-depth coverage on these stories. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
The Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Road to the Election, where we discuss all things on the municipal elections coming up on April 6th.
We're going to start off the show finding out a little bit more about the ward system in Bloomington and the variety of races coming up.
Our very own Brendan McInerney spoke with the Bloomington Election Commission for some answers.
With early voting in full swing for registered voters in the city of Bloomington, we are now under 2 weeks away from the April 6th consolidated election. Among the more heavily anticipated races on the ballot include the City Council Ward 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9 seats, which begs the question of how the ward system works and why Bloomington has wards. Tim Mitchell, the Executive Director of the Bloomington Board of Election Commission, credits long-lasting state laws as a reason for the ward system.
Under state code, if you're incorporated as a city, which Bloomington is, that functions under a ward system. So its wards are based on population size. They all roughly have the same number of people living in the wards. As Bloomington has grown, it has added wards over the years.
Members of the commission owe a duty of loyalty and must act in the best interests of the city and county. Denise Williams, a chairman serving on the Bloomington Board of Election Commission, stresses the importance of running and administering well-balanced elections.
As a commissioner, I may be of one party, but I take that party hat off when I walk in to make sure that we listen to everyone from all parties or write-ins or whatever. We make sure that everything's done fairly.
Voter turnout has been a big issue in Bloomington over the past few years for consolidated elections compared to presidential and general elections, which are heavily voted in. Mitchell expresses his concern over recent polling numbers.
We had to run a consolidated primary for Ward 7 last month. 304 voters turned out of 4,000 and change that were registered. Even the consolidated election in April will have a lower turnout. People don't seem to want to come out for that. I don't know why, considering that it has the biggest impact on your life, voting-wise.
With Bloomington voters being forced to choose a new mayor for the first time in 8 years, Mitchell hopes the race stirs up more people to get out and vote in the upcoming election. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Brendan McInerney.
So there's so much to unpack here, but let's start with the looming issue over the topic of municipal elections. Low voter turnout is real. I mean, as Tim Mitchell said, there was only 300 and something voters who came out of the 4,000 who were registered for the primary in Ward 7. I can't stress enough how important local elected officials are in comparison to our national elections. These have the absolute most impact on our lives.
Voter turnout is low, but Tim Mitchell, who studied politics here at ISU, actually says everything about these local elections is going to affect your daily life. A great way to understand the elections is to become a polling judge. Tim Mitchell's daughter has experience being a polling judge. She became a judge at just 16 years old. Polling judges get paid about $200 once you complete online training. Another point Brendan brought up is that Bloomington will be getting a new mayor for the first time in almost a decade. Anna Marie, you have covered the mayor campaign pretty extensively. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Mayor Renner announced in October that he would not be running for re-election, and it was reported that he had been considering it for months, and his relationship with City Manager Tim Gleason was a very strong consideration for him. He said he would be turning the keys over to someone with the city in much better shape than he found it, and he said just because he's mayor does not mean he will not be involved with the city. So we have three candidates running for Bloomington mayor. Some common goals I've noticed among them that I think is positive is to have a government that actually serves the community. We have two candidates, Mboka Milwambwe and Mike Straza, who have been part of Bloomington since the 80s or 90s, and they've seen the community shift and change and have an idea of what needs to happen now. On the other hand, Jackie Gunderson has only been here for about 10 years, but she's been very involved and wants to bring a fresh perspective to the community. So let's listen to my piece and hear from two of the candidates. Three Bloomington natives stepped up to run for Bloomington mayor after Terry Renner announced he would not run for re-election in October. Jackie Gunderson, Mike Straza, and Mboka Milwambwe each have a unique approach when it comes to leading the city. Mayoral candidate Jackie Gunderson said she's taking a people-centered approach.
To bring a fresh perspective to making sure that those people that have typically not had a seat at the table get an opportunity to be a part of the decision processes that affect their day-to-day life.
As someone with a background in special education, one of Gunderson's main priorities is equity.
When we think about equality, everybody gets the same treatment. But when we think about equity, we think about the neighbors that have slipped through the cracks or have a cycle of poverty that are keeping them from advancing in other areas of their life or are keeping them in a cycle of abuse.
Similar to Gunderson, mayoral candidate Mike Straza said he would like to see more people have a seat at the table. As someone who has been part of the community since 1983, Straza says the community has expanded, but needs to come back together now.
We've neglected certain areas of our community that need more attention, and we also, too, need to bring people to the table that are have a diverse culture, life.
Straza says he would like to remove the barrier that stopped people from accessing resources that he has access to. One way he would like to help the community thrive is through entrepreneurship.
I want to make Bloomington the entrepreneurial capital of the Midwest. By having that growth, by having current businesses grow, especially through COVID, and having new businesses come here, that brings in more money, more people that can contribute to our community.
Both Gunderson and Straza shared they want to help businesses survive for the better of the whole community. Gunderson stressed that is not only about the business owners, it's also about the hundreds of families experiencing housing insecurity. Both candidates stressed the importance of voting in local elections to make real change. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Anna Marie Schutt. Unfortunately, Mboka Milwambwe was very busy and I couldn't talk with him before today, but I will be hopefully meeting with him virtually next week. He is currently a member of Bloomington City Council and is actually the longest standing member on the council. According to Milwambwe's website, his most important objectives would be to focus on basic municipal services, economic development, and community development. So for community development, it says he wants the community to pull together in the same direction.
And a quick fact about Jackie Gunderson is that she actually ran in November for county board but lost. Another quick fact about her opponent, Milwambwe, is that he joined the Bloomington City Council in 2011 to finish the term of the alderman in Ward 3. He is the longest serving member on the council.
Yeah, and after that, he was elected into the position officially in 2013 and then reelected in 2017. He was voted in 2019 unanimously by the council to serve as mayor pro tem. In the absence of Terry Renner, if something happened to him, he would serve as the mayor for the time being. And it's kind of interesting to think that the council actually has that trust in him, to think that he's able and, you know, just able to run as mayor.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I think that really shows whoever knows this that he is capable of doing the job, which is obviously super important for the election.
Absolutely. But Bloomington isn't the only mayoral race we have eyes on. Be sure to stick around after to hear from candidates running for normal mayor and why normal elections are a little bit different from the Bloomington ward system. You're listening to the Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
More Bird's Eye View is here now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to this month's Bird's Eye View, Road to the Election. After hearing from the Bloomington Election Commission about the ward system, as well as mayoral candidates, we are now shifting gears back to normal. It's a contested mayoral race, and one that happened in 2017 and was only decided by 11 votes. Traditionally, these types of races have higher voter turnout, but with the pandemic, it might throw in a wild card.
Yeah, and as we mentioned earlier, the normal town council does not have a ward system. Voters will select three candidates for at-large seats on the council.
And when having to pick three candidates out of a group of nine, it can be overwhelming. But our very own Jack Poleznik spoke with McLean County Clerk Kathy Michael on what this looks like and what this means.
Now, if you look at the back of your voter card, it will tell you the location of your polling place on Election Day. And if you're not registered to vote, you can look up your address online and it will tell you where to go on April 6th. The town of Normal isn't divided into wards, so when you go to vote for council members, you have to pick three. McLean County Clerk Kathy Michael says Bloomington looks a little different.
Every town, city, village structures itself, whether it's 50, 60, 80 years ago, on how their town or village, you know, it's much, much different from the whole state elections and things like that. So Normal was set up the way it's set up so many years ago to be set up like this versus Bloomington, which is divided into wards.
Some people may think, well, students won't be here that long, so why should they be involved in the election? Michael says she's a full believer in if you live here, you should have the right to vote because you may decide to stay here.
It can still affect their pocketbooks and the pocketbooks of their parents. And of course, you see all the wonderful things that are you have access to at ISU, things like that cost money, but that's for the voters to decide, is that worth it to help improve our community, or should we keep taxes lower?
The budget for this consolidated election is much less than last November's general election. Michael says there were many federal grants given to McLean County, creating more early voting sites, but those grants will be absent for this local election. Kathy Michael says there isn't an early voting site at ISU, but you can vote on Election Day at the Bone Student Center. In November, you could vote at Watterson Towers, but that isn't an option this time around.
And we do have to factor in that very low turnout. We could be wrong. It could be an 80% turnout for this one, but we go by the statistics and, you know, 18 to 20%, 25% is going to be a steady, possibly slow election day. But there will be voting at the Bone, but only for precincts 8 and 30.
Kathy Michael says unless there's a real, contested, heated race, it's hard to capture the attention of the voter. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Jack Poleznik.
One thing to note in both Jack's piece about Normal and Brendan's about Bloomington is this low voter turnout that's a real issue, despite local elections being the ones that your vote can really make that big difference in.
Yeah, I mean, during the presidential election, student groups were very active, like the ISU Democrats or Republicans, and people posted on social media constantly about voting, but we have not seen that for this municipal election, and it seems like now local news outlets like us or WGLT are raising the most awareness by talking with candidates and publishing stories about them.
Kathy Michael says elections, let's face it, are one with dollars. The reason behind low voter turnout could be due to the lack of funding these moms, pops, and local candidates receive, and the fact that the election is held far after the general election. Michael did say Normal is a little better about advertising than Bloomington. The Bone being open to those 8 and 30 precincts is very nice for students. Watterson will not be open, but there's also a heated debate on bringing the ward system back to include better representation of students in those precincts. Which brings us to the Chris Koos and Mark Turrettilli race.
Mayor Chris Koos will be trying to hold the mayoral seat against second-time challenger Mark Turrettilli. Koos says his strong point is his track record and a positive relationship with Illinois State University.
He is more concerned about permanent residents than he is about the students of Illinois State University, and that the students don't pay taxes in our community, which is categorically not accurate at all.
Coos says perhaps switching to a ward system similar to that of Bloomington would not completely benefit students.
The problem with a pure ward system that we've seen in other communities that have done this is that decisions that get made are always ward-centered.
Wants to be mayor? Can we really trust
Norman's That future? Was a snippet of a political ad that circulated social media. Coos says this ad references Tortilli's pessimistic outlook on the community.
He doesn't have vision for the community. I think that was the point of the ad.
Mark Tortilli said he's a man who does not give up. Despite his defeat in the mayoral race in 2017, he's back with his head held high. One problem, Tortilli said, he hopes to fix is the overwhelming debt in Normal.
Do you understand that we're $100 million in debt? They were in shock. They had no idea that these things had been going on. So at that point, I looked around and nobody was stepping up. Mayor Coos was going to run unchallenged again. And I thought, well, somebody needs to come in and give a counterpoint at least. And if nobody else will, then I will.
Tortilli says whatever decisions are made, he will involve local health officials and would do so with the full involvement of the community and council, according to the regular functioning of government.
Right now, we're still in emergency powers mode since last March. Mayor Coos has the power to unilaterally take any action he feels is necessary for health and safety, which sounds okay, but these are emergency powers that don't operate within the normal scope of government and were meant to be used for a matter of hours.
Tortilli says he wants to bring a message to the voters of Normal. Local politics affects you more than anything else. Your voice matters tremendously. The last election was decided by only 11 votes out of over 6,000. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Katrina Peterson.
So, Kat, did Coos say anything else about the ward system?
So, Coos said that going to a ward system wouldn't necessarily be beneficial. He says perhaps a hybrid version would be better because what winds up happening in a ward system is that decisions made are not centric. Ku says his relationship with the university he has maintained for the last 18 years is what best suits the students. Tortilli says he wants to address infrastructure. He frequently posts on social media of roads in poor condition. He says the council has become too complicit, too centralized in their decision-making, and he wants to return us to a proper functioning government that we abandoned back in March. In March, the mayor assumed emergency powers for COVID. But the power doesn't just lie in the councils and mayors.
Right. Mayoral races get a lot of attention from locals, but some may not note the township or school board elections. So make sure to stick around after the break for more information on these races. You're listening to The Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
The Bird's Eye View continues now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Bird's Eye View, Road to the Election. So far, we've heard about the Bloomington and Normal mayoral candidates and how the voting system works in Normal and Bloomington.
The Bloomington Council doubles as the township, but for Normal, our township is an entirely separate entity. There will be a Bloomington Town Hall meeting in person and on Zoom April 13th. The meeting will take place in the Bloomington Public Library Community Room on Olive Street. We had our own David Moses discuss the Illinois Township Association and Normal Township to discover a little more on what they do.
State townships are regulated to assist those locally who need financial assistance and have exhausted all of their federal assistance funds. Executive Director of the Illinois Township Association, Brian Smith, says the townships statutorily have set things that they have to provide.
One of them being a general assistance program, which is a form of public aid for single able-bodied adults, kind of the last catch or last rung on the ladder for people who are in need. So it's kind of a safety net for folks.
Local townships are urging citizens to get more involved in their township meetings and events to spread awareness to what's going on in their community. Smith had this to say when asked about what local citizens can do to get more involved in their townships.
There's a couple ways they can become more involved in their township. They can, first of all, they can attend their township board meetings and find out what is going on in their respective townships. And at the board meetings, you know, things will be discussed and voted on. I think they could volunteer and ask if they could help in any way, and that's another way to get involved.
Deborah Skillrud takes on several responsibilities as the supervisor of the Bloomington Township. Providing funds for those in need is one of her biggest priorities. She talks about the value $1 holds in Bloomington Township and how tax bodies help maintain the township funds.
When it comes to a dollar, and you see this in the paperwork from the city, the municipality, but when you look at a chunk of what a dollar provides in our community, 1.5 cents of that dollar is applied toward township. We have seven other taxing bodies in our community.
For those looking to get more involved in their local townships, meetings are open to the public and citizens are encouraged to attend. For more information regarding events and meeting dates, go to the Normal Township website. For WZND in Bird's Eye View, I'm David Moses.
So I actually had no idea what the townships did before, and I think it's really neat that they provide that additional assistance for those struggling. I like the idea of individuals having that safety net, as they mentioned, but the one thing I do worry about is people knowing or not knowing about these resources and that they're available.
I think the easiest way to look at the Normal Township is by knowing the three main categories of that safety net. First, property assessment is carried out by the assessor, Rob Cranston. Second, general and emergency assistance for residents in need and senior services at the Activity and Recreation Center, overseen by the supervisor, currently Sarah Gramer, who is also up for re-election. And third, the decision-making powers in rural road and bridge maintenance, which is managed by the road commissioner, Aaron Rader.
Another election that doesn't get discussed as much is the school board elections. Dominique Soraka spoke with Illinois Association of School Boards and local superintendents to discuss the impact of the school board to the school districts.
The upcoming school board election is near. School board members are people who aim to better the learning experience directly for children across the community. The members are elected onto the board through an election process. Each position on the board is not paid, which means all hard work done by the candidates will be for the true betterment of the district. District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley says in order to be elected, the candidate must have certain characteristics to make sure they are truly passionate about bettering the education system in Bloomington Normal.
But really, anyone who wants to be a part of something that they provide oversight, but they're there to really support, help the district grow and move forward in their mission and their values, you can't ask for a whole lot more than that.
The board consists of seven members, and this year, four people are running for four seats for District 87. Unit 5 has up to five seats available. When elected to this position, board members must take extensive training to make sure they are prepared for their duties. Illinois Association of School Boards Executive Director Kara Kinsler highlights specific tasks each candidate must do in order to serve the board.
Throughout any school board meetings, discussions, they listen to one another, they express their views and opinions, and then they come together and reach a consensus and have one vote. And so no individual school board member has legal authority. They represent the consensus of the board decision.
Voting for the district school board members is crucial, as these members are the ones that can truly make a difference in the community. The election starts on April 6th. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Dominique Soraka.
Wow, it didn't occur to me that all of these school board positions are basically volunteering their time. So they just have a vision for education around here and they want to step up and help.
Nearly 6,000 men and women serve on local public school boards in Illinois, governing the education of nearly 2 million public school students across 850 school districts. School board members are elected by their local communities during a consolidated election, and they serve for four-year terms. School boards are going to have a lot to decide in the upcoming months, and that fall is coming, and students will have to adjust to that post-COVID life. There are six candidates on the ballot for Unit 5. Now, there was a candidate running for District 87 who dropped his name from consideration. John Reed's social media post advocated bigotry, disrespect, and disdain for the black community, LGBTQ LGBTQ+ community and for women. The NAACP is hosting a forum tomorrow night for the candidates, and they publicly stated their thoughts. We have a special guest, Cambryn Kelly, joins us. Cambryn, tell us a little bit about the NAACP response.
Yes, hello everyone. I interviewed President Linda Foster and the first Vice President, Dr. Carla Campbell Jackson of the NAACP Normal Bloomington branch on Friday to get their take on things. The two explained that in order to make changes, topics such as racism and bigotry need to be acknowledged as a community. Vice President Campbell Jackson said that white privilege is prenatal, which is neither good or bad, but those with privilege need to use it and not be afraid to speak out against hate. The branch explained that the differences of everyone should be celebrated, and it's their duty as a nonpartisan to stand up for those who are marginalized.
Absolutely. Ignoring these important issues will not help anyone. Thank you so much, Cambryn, for coming on to share that. That is going to wrap up this episode of Bird's Eye View. Make sure you tune in for our last show of the semester next month, and unfortunately, my last time producing for Bird's Eye View, as I will be graduating this May. But the show will continue to be great next semester with some new voices and maybe even a familiar voice. Thank you for listening to The Road to the Election. Don't forget to vote on April 6th.
That's it for this month's edition of The Bird's Eye View. To hear this and other past episodes of the show, find The Bird's Eye View podcast on WZND.com or in the iTunes podcast store. And as always, for up-to-the-minute award-winning local news, sports, and weather, stay tuned to 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.